Deuteronomy chapter 32, and amen. Appreciate all the good singing. Amen. What a blessing to be in the Lord's house again, and thank God for His goodness and this good week the Lord's given us. And I'd got a little better total on the Christmas fund, and it was about $220. And according to what we did last year, we probably need at least maybe another $60. In the Christmas fund, so I'll be mentioning that next couple weeks or so, because our usually do the treat bags out of that and some ham, and so you remember that. Maybe we'll make some mention of some other stuff in the days to come, and look forward to what the Lord has in store for us. Amen. If you have your Bibles, Deuteronomy chapter 32, and we'll begin reading verse 26. Amen. If you want to even stand, so we read the scripture and read a few verses here, and appreciate what I feel like the Lord's laid on our heart for tonight. Appreciate each one that's come tonight. It's good to be in the Lord's house. Amen. Here in the book of Deuteronomy 32, beginning verse 26, the Bible says, "And I said, I would scatter them into corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. Were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, Our hand is high, and the Lord hath not done all this. For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. How should one cast 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judged." Amen. We'll stop reading right there. Amen. Dear Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of prayer. Thank you for this opportunity you've given us, Lord. We pray, God, that you just bless your word tonight. Thank you, Lord, for all the good singing, Lord, and the opportunity to be in your house. Lord, I pray you just help us, Lord. Lead us and guide us in these days, Lord. Bless in every ministry of the church and every need there, and just bless for your glory, God. Pray for those that are sick and other needs, Lord. We know you're able. Pray we just put it in your hands, Lord, and trust you in these days, Lord, to stir our heart and give us a spirit of revival, Lord. We'd be thankful and give you the glory and the praise. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Here in this passage of Scripture, we could have read some more verses there, but I wanted to kind of draw a thought from this where he's talking about the rock. And amen, it's a blessing to realize. And, you know, the Scripture tells us over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 about the things happening to the children of Israel as them being an example for us. It talks about the rock of Christ and that rock of following after the Lord, that or us or them following after that rock, and that rock was Christ. And it's capitalized in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and it's also capitalized here in Deuteronomy. So when you see it talking about that rock, it's talking about the Lord. But there's something different kind of mentioned here, because there's two rocks that are mentioned. In verse 37, look at that again. It says that, we didn't read that far, but I want to give you that verse. Verse 37 says, "And he shall say, Where are their gods, little g, their rock, little r, in whom they trusted?" Notice that. Back in verse 31, it says, "For their rock, little r." Amen. In your King James Bible, if you've got something else, I don't know what it's got in there. But in your King James Bible, little r, their rock, it says, is not as our rock, capital R. Even our enemies themselves being judges. And their rock sold them. And you think about, there was times that the Lord allowed the children of Israel not to have the victory. It was because they were not obedient to the Lord, and there was sin in the camp, or there was something there. But many times God used them in a miraculous way and gave them victory that is pretty hard to deny and pretty hard to explain how sometimes they got the victory. But it was because they had a rock. It was because they had the Lord. It was because God was on, they were on the winning side. Amen. That's how they were able to have victory after victory. And I believe the same thing's true of us. I want us to look at this rock, and if I had a title for the message, it'd be the song of the rock. The song of the rock. Because here we kind of have a song, if you will, lifting up the Lord and giving Him praise and giving Him glory. And I could hear them singing. I could hear them saying this. You know, they didn't have hymn books like we have today. They would, later on, when the Psalms were written, they would sing the Psalms. And even before that, the first song that's mentioned is the song of Moses in Exodus chapter 15. And they sung about God's deliverance, and they sung about the goodness of God upon them. And so I can imagine the children of Israel from time to time singing this maybe. Their rock is not as our rock. Amen. Their rock is not as our rock. Even our enemies themselves being judges. Many times God would lift them up that God would get the glory through their lives. You notice what He's telling us here. He tells us in this passage that we read that our hand is high. He said in verse 27 that were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy. The Lord's saying, I would have allowed you just to continue to be scattered. I would have allowed you just to continue. And in God's justice, He could have done that. But in His mercy, He says, over and over again, I brought you back. Over and over again, I gave you victory. Over and over again, I showed myself strong as the rock. And therefore, become praise to me, and it become a victory that was seen that even the enemies could look around and say, boy, there's something different about them children of Israel. There's something different about those that are following after Jehovah. I don't understand it, but it seems like every time they go into battle, somehow or another, if things are going right, they just don't have no problem at all. God just helps them, and God takes care of them, and God blesses them, and God walks with them, and there's just something different about those folks. Amen. Amen. That's the same way we think about us. Amen. The child of God and the Christian, praise God, there's something different about the child of God. Amen. Because we have a rock that's higher than their rock. We have a rock that we have a deliverer, praise God, that delivers over and over again in His goodness and His blessing. Amen. I guess that song goes right along with the message too. Think about our rock. I'm going to give you just a few points about this, and we'll go to the house. And it's all through this chapter. That's the reason I could have backed up and read some more verses about this. I mean, there's a lot about this rock in this chapter. So let's look at it for just a few moments and hope it'll be a blessing to us. And this is right at the close, you see, at the life of Moses. And it's kind of like they're looking back and they're thanking God for God's deliverance and God being that rock, if you will. We often refer to the rock of Gibraltar, you know. And that, I mean, we can think of that as the Lord being that stability. I mean, we're not always faithful and we're not always stable like we should be. But He's always faithful. He's always, praise God, thank God for the Lord that's always faithful. Amen. First of all, let me say that our rock is a perfect worker. Our rock is a perfect worker. Look back in verse 4. It'd be good. We can't just read all that. It'd be good. This is good homework for you. Go home and read this whole chapter. Amen. Look at verse 4. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all His ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. Our rock, praise God, is a perfect worker. Hey man, there's no way that we can look back. I mean, people do it sometimes, but they're just somehow blinded by the devil and blinded by the circumstances in their life. But there's no way we could look back and say that God hasn't been good to us. There's no way we could look across our life and really admit that God hasn't done a right work in our lives. If we look at some problems and we look at some valleys, we look at some times that we
are not close to God, it's because we have walked away from the Lord. It's not because He ever left us. It's not because He ever failed us. He's the rock.
Amen.
Hey, man, His work is perfect. So many times we look at ourselves and we can realize that there's a lot of improvement can be done, and there's a lot of work that can be done on us. But you know, when we look at the Lord, we have to say He's perfect. Amen. Everything He does is right. Everything He does is right on time. Everything He does is right on track. God knows exactly what we need, praise God, for we ever need it. Ain't that a blessing? I'm amazed sometimes how God just puts things together and lets paths cross and everything. Amen. Just yesterday, Sister Ann, she was over at the gas station, fell down and hurt herself. She was in the ambulance and everything. I just drove up in the parking lot. I keep saying I just happened to drive up in the parking lot. I've said that two or three times. I just happened to drive up on the parking lot. I mean, that's us, you know. But God knows what He's doing. Lord allowed me to be over that way. Ain't that something? You know, I mean, God, when God does something, He does it right. Amen. He's never late. Amen. He's right on time. Everything He does is right on time. He's a perfect worker. Ain't that a blessing? Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to get stirred up on this first point. Praise God. But I'm telling you, we ought to brag on Him. We ought to give Him glory. Hallelujah. What He does is right. What He does is perfect. He said there, listen, think about it. He says He's a God of truth without iniquity. Just and right is He. I mean, can you imagine that crowd? Some of that other crowd, they got some gods they've been praying to. They got some little G gods. They got some little R rocks. They've got some things that they think they're trusting in, and they ain't never helped them. They ain't never helped them at all. They ain't never done nothing. But if they ever did anything, it wasn't no good. If they had done anything, it wasn't no good. But what God does is right. What God does is perfect. What God does is right in our lives. We may not understand it all the time. And the songwriter said we'll understand it by and by when we get to heaven. But praise be unto God, His work is perfect. And ain't it a blessing? I mean, boy, we can realize and begin to understand that God's working on us. And when He gets finished, praise God, we may be, sometimes folks may be looking at an unfinished product, but when He gets finished, if we'll yield to Him, it's a perfect work if we'll turn ourselves over to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Bible says there in Philippians chapter 1, I like that verse, Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that He which begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. He's began a good work. He's a perfect worker. Amen. It'll be completed and it'll be straight in the Lord, if you will.
Amen.
Bible says in Colossians 2:10, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Amen. I mean you look at me and folks look at us they're not seeing the complete picture if they don't see Jesus. If they don't see the Lord, they're not seeing the whole picture. Because the Bible says ye are complete in Him. I'm missing it without Him. I'm missing. I'm incomplete. I'm not completely put together. If it isn't for the Lord by our side, if it wasn't for the Lord there with us, praise God. He's the one that puts this thing together. He's the one that holds things together. Hey, He's the one that holds us together. Amen. I mean, I've been in situations and things and I just didn't know where to go and didn't know what to do and I still have them today. Amen. I still have them pretty often sometimes. But, you know, God knows what's best. Amen. And God knows what's right. But so many times I fail Him and I fail to listen to Him and I fail to yield to Him. But boy, if I just realize He's a rock, if I just realize He can do a perfect work in my life, oh, it'll be a whole lot better off, amen, if I just rest on Him.
Amen.
You see, I think about that feller. He built his house on, the Bible gives us an example of one that built his house on a rock and one that built his house on the sand. And when the winds came, the one that built his house on the sand, the house did what? It collapsed. It fell in. It didn't last because it didn't have a solid foundation. But there's one that built his house upon the rock, a wise man that built his house upon the rock, and the winds came and the storms came, and it stood because, not because of the rock, not because of anything about that house, but the rock it was settled upon. The rock that it was founded upon. Amen. The song of the rock. Praise God. Let's sing his song. Hallelujah. About the rock. He's got a perfect work. He does a perfect work. Bible tells us, and I mean, there's things that come up. There's times and things that happen. And Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 4, Solomon, the songwriter of Solomon, he went through a lot of different ups and downs. They say that in his early years, he wrote Proverbs. He wrote Song of Solomon first in his early years. And then he wrote Proverbs in his middle days there as king. But then later on in life, he wrote Ecclesiastes. He wrote that one last. And you can kind of see that, man, he had been through some ups and downs. He had been through some times. He said in Ecclesiastes 3:4, there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. He said there will be some ups and downs. But you know what I thought about when I read that? I said, man, there's all kinds of different times. But the rock remains the same. The rock of our salvation remains unchanging. It's a perfect work, even in our times of weeping, even in our times of mourning, even in our times of joy, whatever it might be, God can do His perfect work in our lives if we'll just let Him. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, and this is it, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. Amen. Somebody looks at me now, I'll tell you what, they just ain't looking at the finished product yet. God ain't finished with me yet. He ain't finished with you yet. Praise be to God. He's still working on us. But hallelujah, one of these days, the Bible says when the Lord comes, we'll see Him as He is. Amen. I mean, we'll see Him coming in the clouds, and the Bible tells us it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when we know when He appears, we shall be like Him. Amen. We shall be like Him. We're being fashioned now like Him, but then we'll really be like Him. Ain't that good? Yeah. Thank God. Amen. Sing the song of the rock. He's a perfect worker. Not only that, look at the source of supply. The source of supply. Look down in verse 13. There's a lot we can look at here, but let me try to cover a few things here. Verse 13 says, He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And He made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. He says, got honey, amen, coming out of the rock. Amen, ain't that a blessing? It was their supply. You notice the rock there in the wilderness. First time that Moses was told to do anything, he was told to smite the rock and the water would come forth. They would have what they needed for refreshment. They would have what they needed day after day to take care of them and to sustain them from the rock. And it's the same way today if we think about the Lord. We get what we need to sustain us through the rock of our salvation, through the Lord. We have a great endless supply. The Bible says He'll supply our riches or supply our need according to His riches in glory. Amen. Amen. We're never going to bankrupt heaven. Amen. Woo. We keep a praying, trusting Him, and believing Him for what we need. Thank God the source of supply never is going to run out. Amen. I can't understand. I mean, and then the Bible says, this is something just amazes me. As they went through the wilderness, the Bible says that rock followed them. Amen. Everywhere they went. Amen. There was a well right there beside of them. Everywhere they went, there was that rock. He had smoked that rock, and it was able to bring forth water over and over again. Praise God. But you know, the second time he was to do something with that rock, he was told this time to speak to it, and he disobeyed God, didn't he? That time he smoked the rock again. But God, in His mercy and His love and His long-sufferingness, still brought water out of that rock. But he disobeyed God. He was supposed to speak to it that time. Boy, what a picture of Jesus Christ. He came to this earth 2,000 years ago. He was smitten once and for all. He was smitten once. That rock is not supposed to be smitten again. He never will be smitten again. Hey, what do we have to do today? We come and we speak to Him. We call on the name of the Lord to be saved. We have a need in our life. Hallelujah. We get out on our knees and we call on the name of the Lord and He answers our prayer. What a source. What a source of supply. And I want to say today, folks, He's still following behind us. He's still with us. And the well ain't never going to run dry. We speak to the Lord and we have that source of supply. Ain't that a blessing? Amen. He's got wisdom. I have to call time out and just shout a little bit on that. Amen. Listen, over in Galatians, Paul says over in Galatians chapter 3, I want you to notice this, 3 and verse 13, the Bible says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. That's the one time He's smitten, made a curse for us. For as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, and that the blessing of Abraham might come on to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Amen. Ain't it a blessing that one day God says to that vine and that tree, I'm going to graft somebody else in. I'm going to graft somebody else in. You've got a place, hallelujah. You've got somewhere to be with the Lord. Ain't that a blessing? And He says, hey, the same blessings that came to Abraham, the same blessings that came to Moses, the same blessings that came in the Old Testament, I'm going to take care of the church like that. I'm going to take care of God's people like that. And amen, that's where we are today. Amen. That's where we're at today. And in fact, let me go a little further and show you something that Paul said there in Galatians chapter 4. In verse 4, the Bible says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Boy, I tell you, listen, every time in the Old Testament, they would stop, and you see in the Old Testament where it's written in all capital letters, they say they'd stop when they'd make that scroll, and they would stop and get a new pen just to write, or maybe it was after they wrote that, and they'd get a new pen to scribe that down, because that was the name of Jehovah. That was the name of a holy God, and His name was reverence. And I mean, it still is. It doesn't take anything away from the reverence of God. But what I'm saying is, God gave us in the New Testament to the church a more affectionate term, because now we call Him Father. Now we say Abba, Father. And Abba just literally means Papa or Daddy. I mean, it's an affectionate term that we can give to God. And you know, over there in the New Testament, the Lord tells us, He said, you know, what about the lilies of the field? Consider them. What about the sparrows? What about all these things? God the Father's taking care of them, and He's taking care. Hey, if He'll take care of them, He'll take care of you. Amen. Said, you know, about asking if you ask earthly father, we go ask for an egg. You're not going to give Him a scorpion. You know, if you go ask for something, going to give you something to supply you and to take care of you. That's the way our rock is. That's the way our God is. And it's so personal and so affectionate. He uses the term like a father taking care of his son. Ain't that a blessing? And I like that song. Talk about finding another song and doing it. We're going to have to get on that song, He Loves Me Like I Was His Only Child. I like that one, you know. Amen. And that song, it talks about, you know, Jesus is the only child. But He said, you know, think about it. All of God's children feel so special, like the Lord's taking care of us and loving us like we were His only child. Like we, I mean, God said, hey, I don't know about the rest. I don't know about anybody else. But I can say, I know the Lord's sure been good to me. I know the Lord has blessed me. Sometimes we look at it and think, boy, it's just, I mean, it just can't get no better. And amen to that. Praise the Lord. The Bible tells us over in Psalms, chapter 81, this is the first thing I thought about when I read that verse, and he said that, he talked about that, that honey coming out of the rock, if you will, there in the, in verse 13 that we read, you notice he said that they were made to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. I mean, that just shows you all the provision that they that was needed for them. But the Bible says in Psalms chapter 81 and verse 16, again, another song, if you will, giving praise and honor to the Lord that brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. He says there in Psalms 81, 16, he said, he should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat and with honey out of the rock. Should I have satisfied thee? Honey out of the rock. Oh, what a blessing. And you know what's a beautiful picture of that? Beautiful picture of that's the Word of God. Beautiful picture of that is with the sweetness that we can get from God's Word, the joy that we can get from reading God's Word and studying God's Word, hearing God's Word taught, hearing God's Word preached. Amen. Just like honey. Praise God. That's our, I, listen, I'll tell you, we was in a meeting on Friday night, and I mean, I was sitting there, man, I got my cup full. Amen. I was sitting there in that Bible meeting just listening to that preacher preach, and man, I was just eating it up. Amen. I was on the edge of my seat eating it up. Ain't it a blessing to get that honey out of the rock? Ain't it a blessing to get fed from our, in our soul? Praise God. Been talking a lot about that Thanksgiving this year and the meals and everything. And I know you'll have you, times of meals with your family and everything. We look forward to that. But man, I tell you, there's nothing that I look forward to more than hearing something from God and His Word. Because that's my source of supply, if you will. Amen. What a blessing. Not only that, but look here. I've got to hurry along. Amen. I've got a few more thoughts here. Look at verse 15. The Bible tells us, He said, Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxing fat and thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which had made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Not only do we see it's a perfect worker, he's a perfect worker, this rock that we have. He's a source of supply. But thirdly, I want to say he's the Savior of mankind. He's the Savior of mankind. The Bible says there he lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. You know what that's a saying? Hey, that's a saying that he forgot about the blessings of God. He thought he forgot about the salvation of God. He forgot about God's goodness and God's blessing to him. Oh, what a day that we're living in. What a time right now to be thankful for God's blessing, to be thankful for God's goodness. And there ain't nothing better that we could say than to say, I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. Ain't nothing better we can say but to say there was a time that God dealt with our soul and showed us our need of salvation and we came to the Lord, whether it's in a church service, whether it's at home, no matter where it was at, but God came to us and saved us by His marvelous grace. There's nothing we can say any better than that. He's the Savior of mankind. In fact, the Bible says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. Amen. You go to any other rock, little r. You go to any other god, little g. And you're not going to get nothing. You're not going to hear nothing. But we serve a God that's alive and well. We serve a God that can change lives. And under God, I mean, some folks is a following after prophets and gurus and those that are dead and their bones are buried somewhere. And I mean, they've got allegiance to that stuff. But there's a rock that's higher than that. Amen. I can't understand for the life of me, and I know that they a lot of them has been raised in that culture and raised in that religion. But you think about the Islamic religion and how that they've been raised and how they've been taught that Muhammad was a greater prophet than Jesus, and Muhammad's bones are buried somewhere. He never got up out of the grave. He never rose again on the third day like Jesus did. And everything that was added to and everything that he wrote down, I mean, it's sad to believe that somebody would follow all of that with no hope at all in this life, and nothing. They tell them that you can't pray to God and ask God for anything. They tell them that. You'll bow down to Mecca three times a day, and you'll pray, and you'll get those places to do that, and there's a lot of them are doing that here in our country today. And they'll do that, and they'll pray, but they'll tell them they don't need to ask for anything. And hey, that makes good sense, because there's only one God that can really answer prayer. That's the true and living God.
Amen.
And under God, I'll tell you what, while I'm right there, I'll just go ahead and run a rabbit. I tell you what, our country needs to wake up. We need to wake up. There's some folks, they know good and well they're in war against us, but we don't know we're in war against them.
Uh-huh.
Amen. That's right. I'll tell you what, if we don't wake up and realize that we are in war, I mean, how much of a sad situation it is.
Yeah.
Hey, I remember I was September 11th, 2001. Some has forgot it, but I remember it. September 11th, 2001, I was working in Charlotte. And I mean, Lord God, it was an eerie feeling that day to see there was no planes in the sky all of a sudden.
Yeah.
When you used to see them, I mean, we used to sit when we had break time and everything, and we'd sit there and watch the planes go, and we'd count how many minutes it was going to be before we seen another one. But to see that day, and they were afraid about where there'd be another attack, and all the major cities, they told everybody not to work in those big buildings, and they had trouble with the traffic lights because they'd never had that much big rush hour at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, everybody getting out of town. It was a mess. Shut down the hospitals, all the hospitals on lockdown. We couldn't park, couldn't wait on our patients and all those things. But I was on the phone for a long time to a dear black lady who was a Christian. And I talked to her it must have been a couple hours. Man, she was talking about that militant Muslim crowd that has nothing in their mind but destroying Christians and destroying Jews and killing them everywhere they can and every chance they can get. And man, we spent a long time talking about that. And I said, well, under God, surely under heaven, we'll not forget about this. And surely under heaven, we'll not forget about what we need to do here. And we'll understand that terrorism is real.
Amen.
And under God, where are we at today?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We'll let somebody be in our own military, yeah, give them a gun, put them in service for our country. Our taxpayer dollars pay for them. And them say that they are against the war, they're against this country, they got more allegiance to Muhammad than do anything on this in this soil.
Yeah.
I say that idiot ought to have been kicked out of the army a long time ago and deported out of this country.
Yeah.
Amen. I'd say 14 lives, wouldn't it? Or 13, whatever it was.
Yeah.
How sad. We need to wake up unto God. Man, I don't know where I get all that in there. There's one Savior. There's one Lord.
Amen.
Amen. There's not several Saviors.
No.
There's not several ways to God.
No.
That's another problem right there. It's religious crowd that won't admit Jesus is the only way.
Amen.
Or God, they had old Joel Osteen on, I think it's Larry King, he couldn't admit that Jesus is the only way to heaven. I say he ought to quit and get him an honest job. Amen. He ought to quit and get him an honest job. Hey, if you can't tell folks Jesus is the only way to heaven, there's something wrong, because that's what Jesus said about it. John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It'd do us a lot of good, praise God. We'd get back to lifting up the rock of our salvation. We get back to lifting up the Lord, giving Him the glory that's due to His name. Praise God. I mean, He'll take care of us. He'll bless us. He'll help us along the way. Hey, listen, let me give you another thought. Look at verse 18. The Bible says, of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful and hast forgotten God that formed thee. Oh, man, He said, you forgot about the rock of the salvation. He's the one that saved you. How could you forget about Him? Then He said, not only that, think about it. You forgot about the one that made you. Amen. He first of all made you. He first of all formed you, gave you the life that's within you. Oh, what a blessing. Amen. What a blessing to realize that there's no other religious system. There's no other thing that people worship or whatever and fall down to that is really the true God that giveth life. If somebody worships something else, they follow after something else, it's void and it's vain all the way through their life, and I guarantee you it's void, and they'll realize it's void when they leave out of here, when they step off into eternity. Because, hey, if you're saved, when we step off into eternity, praise God, the Lord is there. Amen. Taking us across Chile Jordan, amen. Praise God. Amen. Taking us there and ushering us into the presence of the Lord. What a blessing. I mean, there's no way, nobody else can do that. But He's the one that give us that life, you see. The Bible says in 1 John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth Him, that begat, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. John 3:3, the Bible says, talking to Nicodemus, He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know what? I've been born twice. And because I've been born twice, I'll only die once. But if somebody is just born once, and they don't never get saved, and they don't never get born again, they're going to die twice. You say, how is that? Well, they're going to die physically, but they're also going to die. The most important part of them is going to die, and that's their soul. That's spiritually. Their spirit is going to die. Hey, that's the reason the Bible says when death and hell's given up, that says this is the second death. Because they've already died physically, but they're also going to die spiritually. Oh, how sad it is. Be separated from God that created you and that made you and that put a soul inside of you that He can live inside of there. He's the giver of life. Oh, I'm glad. Amen. I'm glad to say that I've been quickened by the Spirit. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:1, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And then last of all, let me give you this. And I'm trying to hurry along. Man, I know I got bogged down a couple of times, but think about this. The Song of the Rock. He's a perfect worker. He's our source of supply. He's a savior of mankind. He's a giver of life. Amen. Boy, they singing a good song, ain't they? But not only that, and this goes hand in hand with everything I've said tonight. He's the incomparable master. Look in verse 31, and we done read it. Let's read it again. It says, for their rock is not as our rock. Even our enemies themselves being judges. There's many that have been the enemy of God. The enemies of Christ have said on their deathbed, they've give glory to God. They've give glory to the Lord when they came to the end of their life. I remind of a statement, I think it was in one of the Bible views that I read. There was a young lady that was on her deathbed, or maybe it's one I was just looking at and I hadn't printed off yet, but it was a young lady that was on her deathbed, and throughout her life she had had a godly Christian mother that loved God. But she had a dad that was an atheist. She had a dad that was that all of his life didn't believe in God. And she came down to on her deathbed, and she was fixing to die. She'd had some type of cancer or disease. I forget what it was, but she was dying before her parents. And there they were, and she asked her dad, she said, Daddy, right now, do I need to believe you or do I need to believe Mama? And he said without hesitation, he said, you better listen to your mother because she believed God. And she trusted God. And there was something that she had, amen, that would take her past her death, that would take her further on. There was nothing to compare to our Master. There's nothing to compare to our Lord. That's the reason it's so sad that over and over again there's been things that have done and everything, and I can't get bogged down again. I'm about done. But I mean, there's just things over and over again that have slowly took God out of our minds in this country. And that's sad. That's sad that, I mean, you know, they just say, you know, no prayer in school, no Bible in school, and all. Well, what has happened when we rejected God? God finally said, okay, I'll leave.
Amen.
He's an unwelcome guest in the school system. He's an unwelcome guest in our country in many respects. But I'll tell you, there's nobody like Him. There's nobody like Him. I mean, there's nobody else that can help us. In that day of trouble, hey, their rock failed them. Little r, little g God. Their rock failed them in the day of trial. Look in verse 30. It says, how should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight? Except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up. Hey, the Scripture tells us over in 1 Kings, when he's talking about the contest there on Mount Carmel, in 1 Kings 18:26, it says that they took, bowing down before Baal, they took the bullock they had given them and they dressed it and they called on the name of Baal from the morning till noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. They cried out to Baal, morning till noon. And then it goes on to say, they began to cut themselves, and they went on up till the evening sacrifice. They went another 6 hours and cried on Baal. But there wasn't nothing heard. Oh, Elijah steps on the scene and he says, maybe he's off on a journey. Maybe he's out pursuing something else. Maybe he's asleep. Amen. Maybe our God is better than their God. Maybe our rock is higher than their rock. Amen.
Amen.
Their rock had failed them. Old Baal had failed them. But praise be unto God, the saints of God can sing the wondrous story about the rock of our salvation. The Bible says in Hebrews 13, I'm almost done. Okay, hang on. Hebrews 13. Verse 5 and 6, let me give you this. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he saith, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. That's a good verse, ain't it? I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Now listen to this. I mean, that's good. And I mean, you did think you can't get much better than that. But listen to the next verse. The next verse says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me.
Amen.
Amen. How many have went to death's door? How many have went to death's door? How many martyrs? How many folks that they have went to death's door and they have not denied the Lord? Because He said, I'll never leave thee and I'll never forsake thee. All along the way, we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. All along the way, we can boldly say, our rock is not like their rock. We can trust in our rock. Ain't that a blessing? Amen. He's not changing. He's immutable. Amen. Praise God. I didn't even know what I did here. Lord, maybe I couldn't read my writing, I reckon. I already had that story in here about that young woman. I did. I had it wrote down in here and forgot I had it wrote down in here. I just gave it to you. I gave it to you a little bit early. But anyhow, God's good, ain't He? Amen. All the time. Amen. Ask me, Miss Davis, come around. The musicians come around. Lord knows your heart. Thank God for His goodness. And amen. We didn't intend to be that long. I think it was a little longer than usual. But amen. I tell you what, it's hard to stop when you're praising Him. When you're lifting Him up, giving Him the glory that He deserves.
That's right.
There's a song that we have to sing of the blessedness and the goodness of God. We ought to keep singing it, and we ought to keep telling it, and we ought to keep sharing it as long as we have opportunity. Praise the Lord. Mind old Billy Sunday, and I believe some of the boys have been